not about the top, and I think he has seven differences. We'd see the first two. First is he's very satisfied with everything Hashem gives him, because he knows that it's all good. Therefore, he's mavarach al adav gra kamo shemorach al atoiv. The second one was that he's tranquil no matter what matzav comes upon him. He understands that Hashem's only doing for him good. It's connected to the one above. Benjamin Tzavatoi, Benjamin Tzavarahu, Shroi Tommy. Oh, that's the Naum Baba talk. No matter whether he's got good or bad, he's always worried and he's always uptight. And when his matzav's good, he's also not happy because he wants more. That's the second nafkamina. We're about to start the third one. Hevdel Hashlishi Hu. Shabbatach Be'elokim, Afal Pisho Esek Bamtzir Panosa. Even though he's involved in means to make panosa, and that applies to everything, love dafka panosa. Liboy Loisei Mechaleim. He doesn't rely on them. V'lo Mekave Mehem Toeles. And he has no hope of getting any benefit from them. V'einu Choshe Shigmor Lo Nezek. And he doesn't think for 1 minute that will cause him damage. If Hashem doesn't want it, the reason why he's doing this ishtadlus is because he wants to serve Hashem. Because Hashem commanded him to be Isaac in, however you want to translate this, but in the normal working ways of life. Hashem wants us to be involved in yeshuva v'tikunu shel olam. Hashem wants us to be involved in the world. If these means that he's involved in bring him benefit and save him from damage, he thanks Hashem alone. He doesn't love and have endearment to these means that he's involved in more because of this. And he doesn't rely on them anymore because he just had enormous atzlocha. The only thing that changes is betochen in Hashem becomes stronger. And he's now relying on Hashem more and more and more. He doesn't rely on the means at all. That's probably our biggest struggle. Anybody's honest with yourself will recognize that's our biggest ordeal. And it's a real ordeal, and it's meant to be an ordeal. Is the detaching yourself from relying on your hishtadlus. It's a proper practical, it's not a philosophical ordeal. Philosophically, it is a problem, we'll deal with it. It's a practical problem, and it's very hard to know how to live like this. Now, you have to completely detach yourself from understanding that what you're doing makes no difference. It's a proper nisoyin for anyone who's tried it. What happens if the ishtadlus doesn't bring you the benefit you want? He has complete imuna that the panosa will come when Hashem wants it. Via the means that Hashem wants. And he doesn't find the means he's doing a waste of time or despicable, or he gets upset with them. He doesn't stop dealing with them. He carries on making the same emtsoim. Obviously, we're talking about somebody here who knows that what he's doing is the right thing. So, the person is not seeing us locker from the means he's making for ishtadlus, but it's the right ishtadlus. You cannot make an ishtadlus. If you haven't checked out whether it's the right ishtadlus for you, so go check out whether it's the right ishtadlus for you. But the ishtadlus has nothing to do with the success in panosa. Sometimes Hashem will take success away from your panosa because he wants you to be involved in another panosa. He's tired of you faffing around here. He needs you to faff around here. So he will maybe move you. Then you have to ask Charles. You can't make those decisions on your own. But any poisek malesek bim, he doesn't stop being involved in them. Mipnesha kavanos alabit bakacha saboy. He wants to serve Hashem. Shetiva laisek bishuva shalelan, because Hashem commanded him to be involved in the world. And therefore that's why he's involved in ishtadlus. That's how Abotach Hashem relates to his means of panosa. When it goes well, he celebrates Hashem. He doesn't celebrate the means. When it doesn't go well, he celebrates Hashem. He doesn't celebrate or get upset with the means. But in there is, you have to know, sometimes it could be there's a message there. You have to check it out. What about someone who's not poteach b'elokim? He is involved in these means of panosa because he believes that they have benefit and they save him from damage. If it goes well with these tishtadises, he praises him to the heights. And he praises himself because he chose the right, I bought the right shares and I chose the right business and I went involved in the right profession. And he doesn't look at anything else. He doesn't try to do anything else because he understands that everything is coming from the Sishtadlis. Since the Rosh is Matzliach in this particular moment smiles upon him, he imagines that it's his koyach and his plans and plottings that stood by him. The Mogla places Atzlocha Hashem instead of placing the success on Hashem Loides La'alaya. He praises his, if he's a fisherman, he's catching nets, catching fish. So he praises his nets and what wonderful where he put the nets. He praises and he puts koyach into these means as if they were what brought him that tzlocha. And if he doesn't get benefit from this particular means of ishtadlis, he doesn't want anything more to do with them, he abandons them and he goes and looks for something else. So that's Hevdil Shlishi between the Baal Betochen and the non-Baal Betochen. Is the Baal Betochen knows that the ishtadlis is not doing anything. He has to make ishtadlis for whatever reason. And when it goes well, he praises Hashem and not the means of ishtadlis. He praises Hashem for bringing him this ishtadlis. That's one thing, but it's all rooted in Hashem. And when it doesn't go well, he knows that that's also good for him because it's all from Hashem. And he'll check to see what's going on, but he doesn't despise and abandon the means of ishtadlis he's doing. It's the right ishtadlis to be doing. Vahev de la Revi. If at the end of the month he has a bit of money left over, he has more than he needs in order to live, with an open heart and with enormous leiv toiv, with a good heart, he gives that, those resources, that money, to things which will give Hashem nachas, things that Hashem desires. As it says in the pasuk, "Ki mimcha hakol umiyotcha nasod nasonu loch," because everything's from you, and it's with your hand that I'm giving back to you. Someone who doesn't have a tochen in Hashem. Ha'olam v'kol Hashem bo'enu maspik v'enav l'panosu v'sipuk tzrochov. There's not enough in the world to give him everything he needs in order to survive. Eventually Hashem will take it away from him and he'll be left with nothing. There are those that mefaze, I learned pshat in this pasuk. Yesh mefaz mefazer v'noisef oid. There are those that Mefase means to throw away, to waste almost, but I think it means it in a positive sense. When nice of when he gets more, the chayshech misher achla machso. He holds himself back from doing the correct things with his money, and he doesn't give stocker. In the end, he'll be left with nothing. Eventually, the money will go and get less and less, and he'll be short. He won't have enough. Mida kedeged mida. Kashem shehu hachzi mitzaket stocker. Since he held back from tzaket stocker, kach Hashem machzeh es mamayna. So too, Hashem holds back his money. That's one of the nisoynus of wealth. If you have more than you need, it's not so posh what to do with it. Problem is, people think that that's their money. And explained that earlier, that there's three types of money. And this is the money that you don't really need for your life, and you don't really need for tomorrow, because that's also, people want to keep a bit away, you know, saved up for a rainy day. This is the money that you don't need for that. Huh? Don't get rainy days. Oh, okay. So then, so that money that he has, that he doesn't need for his own life, he's supposed to give away. It's not his. Also not a simple nisoy. If everyone's having a problem with nisoy, you come speak to me. I'm happy to help you get rid of your extra money. I know what to do with it. Okay. He was criticized. He was supposed to use it. Chazal criticized him. Chavis Levav was going to argue with Chazal? Who criticized David HaMelech? You said he was criticized. By who? Pretty much everyone. The two fairy. I mean, who was criticizing him? Everyone. Huh? Chazal? No, Chavis Levav is not going to argue with Chazal. He's a Rishon. I don't know you, Chazal. David HaMelech was wrong. He was wrong.
Which aspect would he have thought that his...
I can't tell you what the Chavis Lavos would have said.
...of his wealth that he didn't spend was this the part that was considered the part that he should have been excellent and the part that he should have been saving?
What's your question?
The question is that there are very little categories presented, but then you have Shiloh's as to what falls in what category.
You have the Shala personally, or you have David HaMelech Shala?
I'd love to have the Shala personally.
David HaMelech had a Shala. David HaMelech did something which we're supposed to learn from. We're supposed to learn from it. What was David HaMelech's
chesed?
One second. Bring me the sugya. Bring me the chazals and let's learn them properly. David HaMelech was thinking what he was thinking. On his level, whatever that was, he made a calculation, an error, and Chazal pick him out on that. No, I have to learn the sugya. I can't sit here without the sugya and think what the Chovin Samovitz would think about David Amet. Bring me the sugya. Let's learn the sugya properly. It's a sugya in Chazal. Let's open up the Gemara and learn the Gemara properly to the depths and see how we learn it. Then I can take away a lesson that'll be correct. If I sit here speculating, I'm going to get the wrong lesson. When I try and learn a lesson from Chazal, I'm going to understand the lesson. That means I'm going to understand the Chazal properly. There's a machlekes, yeah, David Amelech and Chazal. David HaMelech also knew what he was thinking. Let's find out what his Havamina was. And then find out where he made the mistake. That's how you learn a sugya. Speculating what the Chovas HaRav of Madis. I don't know, he doesn't mention that sugya at all. Let's learn it up. Other Rav, bring it. Let's sit down and learn the Chazals properly. That's how you learn. That's how you come to understand Torah. I don't know what the Torah says, no? Bring me the sugya, let's learn it. I don't know. Don't know what David HaMelech was thinking. I don't know what Chazal was thinking. Let's learn up the sugya. We'll know what the machlokes was, and we'll be able to understand how to learn from that. You can't absorb and internalize a Chazal if you haven't understood it properly, because you don't understand it wrong, and you internalize Shek instead of Emes. The only way to internalize Emes is to learn the sugya properly. Anybody got any other way of understanding truth better than understanding it properly? Speculate. I don't know what you're talking about.
First reading something, then coming up with any shilohs as you can.
I don't know. I want to know what Rashi says. I want to know what Tosfos says. I want to learn what the Rishonim say. No, I need to see the sugya. But I want to know what sugya I'm learning. I don't even know what sugya you're talking about. Bring me the sugya. Let's see. Let's have a look. Let's learn up a sugya. There's value in me understanding vos state. There's value in me understanding what was taught. Yeah? And of course I have to come with it and try and understand it to the best of my ability using my koiches. But then I don't understand what I think. I want to know what Chazal think. That's my goal. My goal is not to understand what I might think or had I might have thought. It's important for me to know what my Muskel Rishon is. At the end of the day, I want to come out with clear clarity what the Torah is saying, not what I'm saying. I'm not interested in what I have to say. What Chazal is saying, then I want to take what Chazal is saying and internalize it and make that part of my bag of tricks so that I can function correctly. What I think at the end of the day is irrelevant if I haven't understood the sugya properly first. But that's a complex sugya because I'm not going to understand the sugya the way you understand it because I'm not you. But until my mind is working and functioning like Chazal's and I'm in line with Chazal and I'm thinking straight like Chazal, then my opinion is very dangerous. Because I could be wrong. And therefore I need to know what Chazal are thinking so that I can straighten out my brain and think like Chazal and not like where my brain came from. That's how I understand it. And I could be wrong and I'm happy to back off if anyone can prove me wrong. Ha'evdala chamishihu. But bring it, it's a fascinating sugya and it's relevant, so let's learn it. Ha'evdala chamishihu she'abateach v'lekim o'isek b'ntzim ha'gashmin. כדי שיוכל להוכין על יודם צדל לדרך שנפשוי תצטורך ללכס בו אחרי מויסוי. Someone has בתוכן in Hashem is Isaac in the means of Gashmias in order that he can prepare for himself what he needs in order to take with him on the journey that starts after he dies. You understand what this means? He's involved in physical matters in order to prepare for himself resources for the next world. ומלאי שתוכל להתקיים ממנו במעונה הנצחי. And stock goods, produce, that is to take with him on his eternal journey. ולכן עושם הם צוין שבורא לו שלא יפריע לו לקיים את התורה, בשלמות, those means which are clear to him, that won't interfere with him being able to keep the Torah properly, ולהגיע לחי עולם הבא, that will enable him to come to עולם הבא, הוא עסק בהם. And those means of panasa that can be pogaya, that can damage, that can interfere even a little bit, but kiyum ha-Torah, or because of those means he'll be rebelling against the words of Torah, ainu oisek b'zem, he doesn't have anything to do with him, kedei shelo yavi al atzmoi machala b'mkoim refuah, said he doesn't bring upon himself the sickness instead of the cure. He's in this world in order to get to Olam Haba, therefore working in means of Ishtadlus for whatever it is, which is connected the Ratzon Hashem, or which takes him away from Avodas Hashem, he doesn't get involved with them. Why should he? Hashem's providing the panosa, so why should he be involved in things that doesn't find favor in Hashem's eyes? It's going to take me away from Avodas Hashem, whatever his Avodas Hashem is. Someone who's not poteach b'lokim, who poteach alem tzoyim atzmo, he's relying once again on the means themselves. V'soymech es atzmo alem, and he relies on them. V'oisek b'kolam tzoy shibo liyodo, he grabs whatever comes his way. Bli lahavdi limu mushubach o moguna, without checking out whether this is praiseworthy or not. V'lochay sheval ma shi toy achre moisa, he's not thinking what's going to be with me after 120 years. He's worried about what's he going to have today. He needs money, so you do whatever you have to do. You've got to steal a bit. You've got to go to places you're not supposed to go. You've got to look at things you're not supposed to look at. You've got to think things, you know, yeah, you've got to do all sorts of bunch of stuff there. So you've got to do that, because you guys got to live the real world. Shlomo HaMelech says, a chochem sees or fears, however you want to translate yore, it's the same root. The Samira, and he turns away from evil. Uksil misave bebateach, an idiot, a fool, he's over the rots in Hashem, and he has complete trust that everything's going to be fine. The Chochem is scared of the Oynish, he's scared of damaging his Olam Haba, therefore he turns away from things. But the fool, Uksil is a fool. Uksil is a fool, an idiot. But you know what, Shlomo HaMelech calls some people Ksils, and sometimes he calls him a Rosha. Then you know what the Gedorim do. I haven't learned Mishle properly. I get him a halach with a groin, exactly how to find all the terms in Mishle. Yeah, he translates it as Mitchazek la'ava rotzen Hashem v'batech shelo yon elora. He's continuing to be over the rotzen Hashem, he's completely 100% guaranteed nothing's going to happen to him, everything's going to be fine. Because what can you do? You've got to make a living, no? You've got to support your husband in learning, so you go off and do all things that you shouldn't be doing. It's in the name of Torah and religion, it's fine. Anyway, don't get me on that subject. Oh, I've still got 6 minutes. I could get into trouble for 6 minutes on this subject. Yeah, that goes back to one of the primary reasons why he said you have to make ishtadlis, because Hashem wants to test you to see if you'll make your ishtadlis in a kosher way. That's one of the primary reasons, according to the Chovos Levavos, why there is ishtadlis in the first place. Because Hashem's going to test whether you're going to play straight or not. So someone has betochen in Hashem, so why shouldn't he play straight? He knows that the bonus is coming from Hashem, not from the ishtadlis. So all these dodgy deals that the whole world does and everybody does in order to make more money, because why would he go against the Rotzen Hashem in order to makayim the Rotzen Hashem? It doesn't make any sense to him. But somebody who's trusting his ishtadlis, his means, the same in Shidduchim. Why is it mutter to lie as much as you want in Shidduchim? Because I'm making Shidduchim. And if I don't make the Shidduchim, what's going to be with this poor girl or boy? Therefore you can lie through your teeth. But somebody who understands that Hashem's mezav is zivugim, why is he lying? Why would he lie? Because he thinks he's making the shidduch. If he doesn't lie, then maybe this poor girl will get stuck without a shidduch. Who do you think you are? You making shidduchim? The same is in refuah, and it's in many, many areas. If it's coming from Hashem, you do what Hashem asks you to do and finish. Why do you have to make dodgy deals? So betochen can keep a person from enormous avarice. There's no other benefit if you can't think of any other benefits. At least there's this one. If you know that it's Hashem that's taking care of the world and not your ishtadlis, then your shadlis can be straight. You live a much more pleasant existence knowing what the parameters of your, what you're allowed to do when you're not allowed in business. And when it comes to dodgy deals and whatever, you walk away from it if you have to. You lose your job if you have to. Shabbos, for example, how are those few Yidden in America able to withstand the enormous nisoyin of Shabbos? Enormous nisoyin, we have no idea what it means. They were facing starvation. It wasn't whether they'd have a holiday home or not. You know, you work on Shabbos, because if you don't, how are you going to afford a Miami in the winter? You know what I'm saying? That wasn't what was bothering them. They're pushing to their food. They go to work on Sunday or Monday, knowing that they would, you know, have a job for 3-4 days and they get fired on Friday. And there was nothing in the house. How did they do that? Because you understand that your panosa comes from Hashem, and being Mechal Shabbos is not going to make you more panosa. An enormous nisoy. We have no idea what those Heilige Yidden, what those great Jews achieved. But you see what they produced. Look at America today. Yeah. Orthodoxy was dead 100 years ago, 50 years ago in America. Look today, Boch Hashem. Boch Hashem. We have to work with it. It's not simple. There's nisoyness every day with panosa. A little sheker, yeah, a little foot on the scale, yeah, a little dodge, yeah, it's worked all the time. We've been tested all the time, not possible. Do you steal from your learning seder for panosa? Do you run out of davening early because you've got a business deal? The big, big questions that people have to face all the time, depending on what you're involved in. Sometimes, yes, you have to leave davening early. Sometimes it's also, you have to know. No, not simple, not simple, any of this. Why did you run a davening 5 minutes early? Because you had a business meeting. Well, you think the business meeting is going to be more successful if you don't daven or if you do daven? And if you'll be 5 minutes late for the meeting, what's going to happen? Hashem makes the business, not him, and not you. How do you deal with nisayin? It's not that. It's not simple. You know what I'm talking about. You had that nisayin. No, you're going to run out of davening 10 minutes early, or you're going to get there 5 minutes late because you're dodging, or you're going to run into Shabbos not exactly the way you're supposed to because you had to finish off a deal. Sinus like this. You're on the phone 2 minutes before Shabbos. Careful, you're not skiers in 2 minutes. Yeah, but I've got to close this deal. And if I don't, and then he's torn at the whole of Shabbos. Everyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, this only happens to me. Yeah. Shavotav Elokim Ahuruv al kol sugi anoshim. Let's stop there. It's enough nisoin hard work for one day. This is a new category completely. This is hard work.
Abraham, yes, to go to Mitzrayim when he was not Parnassus. Abraham.
When Hashem tells you to go to Abraham, you have to have it. Everyone has to do what they have to do. That's what I said, you have to know. Sometimes you might think it's wrong and you actually have to do it. That's what I said. Sometimes you have to leave davening 5 minutes early. Sometimes it's also. That's why it's in Israel. If it was always also, like eating chazer is always also, except for pekuach nefesh, anyone have any soin here with chazer? No, why? Because you know it's also. So why do we have any soin running out of davening 5 minutes early? Because it's never clear. You can be moira heta many, many times over. That's the big problem. It's never clear. It's one of the hardest things. This Ishtadas Parnosa story, I don't have to tell you. You've been around longer than me. I don't know. It's not a simple story. One small little white line, you can save your business. And if you tell the truth, you're going to lose everything. What do? The halacha is clear. You have to give up all your wealth rather to be over loving the Torah. You can speak a little word of Lashon Hara, whatever, and you save your business. And telling the truth and not speaking Lashon Hara about your partner is going to ruin you for life. What do? Shelo Neida, should have any sinus like this, but people have any sinus like this. Mom, ask a poisek. Ask a poisek. It's a halachic shala. It's a halachic shala. I know from a revelation, you have to pay your taxes, you have to declare everything.
Someone said, when Hashem says Rishoni,
he knows how much you can pay with mom as well. There are certain taxes which the Gemara discussed that you don't have to pay when it's not beginning a tax anymore, it's beginning a gzaila. In other words, the government's stealing from you now, there's not a normal tax. Let's say the world normal taxes are 30%, and you're in a country where they're taking 90%. So then there's room to discuss where you're allowed to dodge and where you're not allowed to dodge taxes. Once again, I mean, I'm not giving a halacha shiur. I'm saying you have to know, because that's not tax anymore, that's part of gzeila. But I know that Rabbi Lashu was very clear on all of this. VAT, what you guys call VAT. Value added tax. Do you pay it? Don't you pay? How much you put under the table? How much do you steal from the government? How much you don't? How much tax you pay? How much you don't pay? What do you clear? What don't you declare? That's Chazal's already. That's not today. You have to pay tax.
Would Rabbi Lashiv say the same thing in Chutz Haaretz?
Why should it be different? Why should any difference could slide it there? You're in Golis there, you're in Golis here, mind after me. And if we were running this country, it was being run by Chazal the way it's supposed to be, I'll tell you, Lord, you would pay tax as well. Yeah, you never heard of tax? Chazal talks about tax all the
time.
Last
time I wonder,
you have to pay for the security of the city, according to Chazal. You have to pay for this, you have to pay for that, for upkeep of the roads, for my. Why do you have to pay for all of that? The shal is when the tax becomes gzeila, then the government's already stealing more than they're entitled to. Then you have to ask a local Orthodox rabbi what you did in those cases. I don't know. There's a personal shyness. I'm not getting into it.
But you know, bar only a few instances in rural, every single country
that taxes
falls out
of rural. Could be. I don't know.
You understand
it? I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand that. I have to ask a shala where I'm living, how do I deal with taxes? I ask my rob, and my rob tells me how to deal with it. There's another aspect here as well that's called Chilul Hashem. It means even if the government is stealing from you, okay, you might not be able to dodge tax, because if you get caught, there's a Chilul Hashem involved as well. Many factors here you have to ask what you do and how you deal with it. Simple, no?
Okay. So we were talking about this question yesterday. Your thoughts, yeah? They did a survey at a campus in America. This was 24 years ago, and we were discussing the results of that, and they asked a simple question.